the hand clap. Hallelujah. Amen. Nice to be back together once again. We certainly did appreciate the service on Sunday night. We saw the Lord just intervened and moved just as we expected. I've been battling with a little bit of a stomach issue, and we're winning, though. We're on the winning side. So we thank the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Brother Samuel Johnson passed away. Those of you, I know some of you are familiar with who he was, who he is. That's the nice thing, you know, you don't say who somebody was because they still are if they're a child of God, right? So soldier of the cross. He's 90 years old, 90 years young, and was up in the Michigan area for many, many years, and he's went on to be with the Lord. So certainly want to remember family and loved ones that are left behind. We know that there's celebration and there's mourning at the same time. It's bittersweet. But no matter how expected it might be, leaves a hole. Amen. Well, tonight we're thrilled to have our brother Jonathan Martin with us. I'm trying to remember the last time he was with us. It's been a while. We were together in the meetings in Santa Fe last year and got to have a little bit of fellowship. And he's going to be up at Brother Chris Long's for his meetings this weekend. And so I'm thankful that he decided to come our way and bless us. And so we'll try to get as much out of him as we can without wringing him dry, so that he's still got other services to go to. So he's he lives in Lima, Ohio, and church is in Bluffton, Ohio, True Word Tabernacle. And so we're thankful that he's come to be with us. He's a good friend, and we really appreciate the gift that the Lord's placed in his life, and are blessed by the ministering gift that God has given him. And I was just remembering, I don't remember exactly what year it was, but I remember one year when we had all of the Martins with us for watch night service, and it was the end of the year, and we just had a wonderful time. And I think that night, you know, going into New Year's Day, it snowed that night.
Yes, it did.
Yeah,
it did.
So you just never know. It snowed April 1st before too, so you just never know. Never know what the weather's going to do. But anyway, we're thankful to have our brother with us, and we want to invite him to just come and take his liberty here tonight, and you just pull on the gift of God and be in expectation. Amen. He counts the stars as our brother comes. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. Made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every cheer that I cry. He knows my name, and I'm overwhelmed by the pain, and can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. You believe that tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know. Answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I
Aren't you glad that you can sing that? Aren't you glad that you can say that everything's going to be just fine? God's in control of our life. He's in control of every situation. And we found that God doesn't lie, and His Word is forever true, and it's forever settled. And all we have to do is just come in line with it. And God will guide our footsteps and direct us and work everything out for our good. And it sure is good to be in the house of the Lord with you. And we just deem it a great honor and a great privilege to be here. And good to see everyone again. And acquaintances that we've known for many years. And it's just been a while since we've seen one another. I see Brother Jude back there. I think he's the message sound guy. He travels, probably travels the world setting up, sound systems. And, so we got to see Brother Jude a couple of years back. It was a great blessing to us. And we just love your pastor and, his precious wife and, just real good friends, and we appreciate them and their dedication to the gospel and the message of this hour, and the dedication to feeding the sheep of God sheep food, and we have just great respect for them, and we just I was kind of hoping to slip in and just have a little bit of fellowship and. You know, I say amen to the word and listen to your pastor preach. But here we are, and it's fallen our lot to preach. And we just pray that we can say something that will be of strength and edifying to you. And we're very conscious that it's a Wednesday night, and so we'll try not to hold you too long. But we do want to bring greetings from Brother Wayne Lawson. We're in a bit of a transition, and so we are now attending True Word Tabernacle, and Brother Wayne is our pastor, and so we just want to bring greetings from him, and we're just working out of the church there. Doing mission work and also just evangelizing some. And so we're just doing whatever we can to further the kingdom of God. And we love and just love this great message that God has given us. And we want to do our part, whatever that is. Amen. To further the kingdom of God. And so if you have your Bibles, we'll just go into the scripture, Psalms 106 and verse 7, and then we'll go to Ephesians, the first chapter, and we'll just begin reading out of verse 17 there, and I'd like to take for a text, "The Time Has Come," and we could go very, very long into this. It's quite a topic that is very vast in the message that God has given us. But we'll just try to break into and just hit a few highlights here. But Psalms 106 and verse 7 and 8. "Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known." Now, Ephesians, the first chapter, and just beginning at verse 17, and we'll read down to the 23rd verse, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, could we just bow our heads in a word of prayer? And maybe you would like to just be remembered in prayer, and you just want to lift your hand, and I know God sees the need. Heavenly Father, we come boldly before your throne of grace, and how we appreciate your presence, the atmosphere created, just being gathered with a room full of believers, a congregation that has dedicated their life to the cause of the message of the hour. I pray, God, that you would just meet their heart's desire and their needs and move as only you can for your children. And Father, I just ask that you would cover us beneath your blood. And God, help us to speak your word, Father. And Lord, may it be strength and just edifying to your people. We would ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God richly bless you. You can have your seats. Again, for a text, the time has come. And we know that Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, the first verse, says to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And Brother Branham would say that God's got a time for all things. He would say he's got a time that we plant corn. We got a time that we plow corn. Then at the time we harvest corn. The spring rains come, the drought through the summer, the fall rains, the snows. You just can't say I plant my wheat today and tomorrow go out and harvest it. God has times for season. He has seasons for his word. And so there is a word for every age, and there's a word for every season. And we know that there has been a message for down through seven church ages. And there is an expectation that is dependent upon understanding what the season that we're living in. I think of how that there is, you take a mother that is expectant with child, and there is, I believe there's three trimesters to her pregnancy, and as she goes through those trimesters, and she's coming to that time of giving birth to that child, then the expectation grows and grows and grows. And you would not say that there is an expectation of delivery at the first month, or the second, or not even at the fifth or the sixth, but it's getting closer and closer to the time. And then when the time, we would say the time has come and the contractions and all of these things has come to that point, then there is a great expectation of deliverance of that child. And I think that that is the time that we are living in, that we understand that the word has come to declare what time and season that we are living in. And that it is a time of rapture. It is a time to put off this old pest house, this old mortality, and to put on immortality. And we would say with great expectation and great fervency and zeal that the time has come to be changed in a moment and the twinkling of an eye. I think of how that God has sent a prophet to reveal or to bring understanding of what time and season we're living in. And the prophet, just taking a few things that Brother Branham would say to describe the age and the hour that we're living in, and he would begin to say that we are living in the harvest time. He would say it is the ripening of the grain. He would say the Alpha has become the Omega. He would say, it's bride time. It's bride age. Denominational ages are over. It's the word age. It's rapture age. It's eagle age. He would say it's the dispensation of the fullness of time or the dispensation of adoption. He would say it's uniting time. It's marriage time. And he would show us that, take us to Revelations, the 19th chapter, that to that scripture where rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And he would begin to show us that through the revealing or the opening of the word, that everything that the bride has need of to make herself ready for the body change has been given to us. Amen. So he's showing us that we're not looking for a time to come, but the time has already come. And now everything we are in need of for the translation has already been given the bride of Jesus. Now, we would look and how that Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and those that could not accept the hour of their visitation. And he would declare that in vain you worship me. He would say, worship him, genuine worship, true worship from their hearts, but in vain you worship me. Why? Teaching for doctrine their tradition of man. Therefore, you make the commandments of God of no effect to the people. He would say, if I taught you a Methodist message, it would take no effect on you. This is bride time. If Moses taught the message of Noah, it would take no effect. If Jesus taught Moses' message, it would take no effect. Because the predestinated seed are laying there that will only be watered by that type of water that's give for that seed. And so Brother Branham is showing that the Holy Ghost is here in the message for this hour to water that bride seed. Amen. And so, though everything that we have need to make the word effective in our life is already here, and the Holy Ghost is falling through the word to anoint our lives, to bring a visitation, a manifestation of his presence upon our lives. I think, you know, this is not just a preacher's message. This is a message for mamas and daddies. It's a message for boys and girls. It's a message for daily struggles and a daily walk with God. And as Enoch walked with God, and he had a constant relationship and fellowship with God under the anointing of that hour, and it brought forth a body change. Everything he had need of was in that walk. I think of how that God has brought us into such a relationship with him that we are now walking as Adam walked with God in the cool of the evening, restored back to our inheritance, restored back to divine fellowship, restored back to eternal life. And we do not lack for anything in this walk, because all we have to do is keep eating and feeding and drinking and just keep nursing ourselves upon the revealed word of the hour. And it's got spirit and life in this word. And one of these days, between 6 and 9, there shall be a change. Hallelujah. But I want to say this, the message of the hour is the bread of life that has brought forth this bride and has brought us in a gathering and uniting around the revealed word of the hour. And it's already brought forth a change in our life. It's already brought forth a change of transformation. And it's God changing us from glory to glory. It's a message that has effect in our life. The prophet of God says, what is it? The people that live on manna of Luther, Wesley, and then back there, you are eating contaminated stuff that's killing you spiritually. It's killing you dead in your traditions. Yesterday's Luther's manna will not work for Methodists. Methodist manna would not work for Pentecost. Pentecostal manna will not work for today. See what I mean? Every day it come, day by day, fresh. I tell you, isn't that tremendous? Every day it come, day by day, fresh. Luther's manna was the message of justification. Wesley's manna's message was the manifestation of sanctification. Pentecostal was the restoration of the gifts. But this is introducing the headstone, the last day, the bride tree, which is contrary to all of it, and yet is the same light for the matured. Are you seeing what the prophet of God is saying? He's tying the headstone with the bride tree and saying it's for the matured. Amen. He's not calling you a Pentecostal baby any longer, but he's saying the headstone has come to the bride tree, which is making Christ and the bride one, and we are not lacking. We have come to the mature. It's the evening lights that word made manifest shining upon the bride that is not a baby any longer, but she's a grown woman. She's come to the marriage. The time has come to recognize who you are, that you are not just a church, but you are Mrs. Jesus Christ. You have come into adoption authority. You have taken the name of God, as Abram took on the name of Elohim and was placed in his position. The bride has taken on the name of Jesus Christ and has stepped into her position, and she has got checkbook authority. In my name, you shall cast out devils. Not a weak church, not a begging church, but a bride knows her position. She's a believer. And this day, this bride is on the scene to manifest the Father's will. Hallelujah. You see, the prophet of God will show us. It's introducing the headstone, the bride tree, contrary to all of it. And yet it's the same light for the matured. He would say, like the same sun, shine today. We'll be ripening the grain for the harvest in July. See what I mean? But the light today won't do any good back there in July. It's stronger. The wheat is more advanced. It's ready to take it. Oh, I love that. The wheat is more advanced. It's ready to take it. Hallelujah. The prophet of God would say in many places, or different places, we'll just say it like that, in different places, he would say, I've been waiting for 20 years, 30 years to preach this to the church. He said, but you couldn't take it back there, but now you can take it. Well, I tell you what, friends, let me just put it like this. We have been ripening in the presence of the sunlight. Hallelujah. And this bride, amen, can take it. This bride can take the revealed word. This bride can take that the presence of God has descended, fulfilling Revelations 10:1, Revelations 10:4, Revelations 10:7. The seven thunders have uttered their voices. The mysteries have been revealed. The loose ends have been tied together. And rapturing faith dwells within the bride. The time has come to manifest every promise. Eat the book. The time has come to eat the book. The time has come to prophesy again. The time has come for your life to thunder out the prophecies, the word for this day. Written epistles manifesting the word. Hallelujah. You see, the prophet of God would say the season wasn't right then. But the season's right now. Hallelujah. A lot of these things wasn't right back then. Hallelujah. There's things that people, amen, for, let me just put it like this. They've been probing and probing and probing. Amen. Just trying to tie this together. Trying to tie this together. But you see, now we're in the age of understanding. Hallelujah. We're in the age. We're just not debating about things. We're not trying to argue about things. We're not trying to see if this fits and that fits. But you see, we have come to an age of understanding where the seals have been loosed. The revealing of the Son of Man has broke upon us. And the spirit of wisdom and revelation has come upon the church to give us the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to know what fits and how it works, and to know how and to know when, and to know what the Father's will is for the church of the living God. You see, amen, understanding is a powerful thing. Understanding is the ability to understand something. Amen. It's comprehension, an individual's perception or judgment of a situation. So you can look at something, hear something, but if it doesn't have no meaning to you, well, then it doesn't have any significance. But you see, without an understanding, you can't put proper importance on something. You can't put it in its proper place or position. Therefore, you can't do anything without first understanding what to do and how to do it. You see, the prophet would preach God's chosen place of worship, and he would begin to say, we want to know the truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He says you don't know what to do until you know how to do it. You must know what you're doing and how to do it. The prophet of God and the power of transformation. Amen. Just reading that scripture that you would be changed and not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says renewing of your mind. The things that you once thought upon to be precious, lay that aside and be transformed to something else. What you was one time to what you are now. Can I say that again? To what you was one time to what you are now. Oh, that'll preach. You see, you once was just trying to come to identification. You once was just in a denomination. You once, amen, was just trying to, you were an eagle, but the chickens were trying to get you to identify with them. Amen, once, you just were ready, you know, what is a chicken good for? He's just laying some eggs and going through life, pecking at some bugs and getting ready for the slaughterhouse. Amen, but you see, you once was there, but you've been transformed. It's the renewing of your mind. And how is that renewing going to take place? Well, the prophet of God would say it like this: by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, that's what we all want to know, how to do it. We are here. We love Him. He saved us. Now we want to know what to do. And we're trying to take a little step this morning to raise up just a little bit higher. Amen. So you see, it's the Word that is bringing the church a knowledge or to an understanding, amen, of what to do and how to do it. Now, the Bible says, don't lean to our own understanding. You see, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. And whenever we try to help God out, we just make a mess out of things. Amen. Whenever we put our own ideas to the Word, we just make another denominational thought. Amen. You see, you shall know the truth. In other words, when the truth is revealed, it becomes a revealed truth, and that revealed truth shall make you free. What's it making you free from? The old traditions, the old doctrines, the old things that held you a captive in your mind and in your spirit, and the devil could attach
attach himself and put you in shackles. And oh, but you see, the truth came to bring an understanding. And it's that understanding that makes you free. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know what to do. I want to be about the Father's business, and I really want to, but I'm afraid. I don't want to mess things up. I'm afraid to do something wrong. But you see, that's why that's why the Father knew your heart. So he said, I'm going to send you a tutor. I'm going to send you someone that'll tutor you in the Father's business. Hallelujah. And he's going to teach you how. And he's going to teach you when. And he's going to teach you how to come into your responsibility. And then your name is as good on the check as the Father's name is. I tell you, friends, that's what the message has done. It's brought us to an adoption authority to know how, to know when, to know what God wants done with the Word. Not second guessing ourselves, but stepping out. Stepping into our position. Stepping into the Father's will, the Father's business. What is the Father's business? To manifest the Word. You see, you're free. You've been cut free from traditions, free from doctrines, false doctrines and false ideas. And you come into the true doctrine. Amen. You're covered with protection again. Hallelujah. You see, the prophet would preach a sermon trying to do God a service without it being his will. And he would show us how that David is bringing the ark back. He's got this great desire to bring the ark, the word, back to its proper place. And David was sealed, and David is anointed. But we find that David, in all of his zeal, and even though he was anointed, but he got out of his place. And we find that David, amen, he should have consulted the prophet how to do it. Amen. But instead of consulting the prophet, he got enthused. Amen. And because he didn't consult the prophet and he acted upon his enthusiasm and even, let's just say, his zeal to bring the word back, but yet he caused death in Israel. Amen. Because he didn't consult the prophet. I tell you, friends, the prophet is more, amen, than just something that we just listen to and we go to bed listening to it. And it just, you know, it's in a haphazard way. Friends, the prophet is the divine interpreter of the word, that we can know how and we can know when and we can know what God's will is. I tell you, friends, that's why the prophet of God preached trying to do God a service without it being his will in the morning. And then he preached spiritual food in due season in the evening. And he's saying we can try to do God's will without it being the right time, being the right place, being the right season. But then the prophet of God would say, but here is spiritual food. Steal away from all the unbelief. Steal away. Get out of those hotbeds. Get out of those denominations. Flee those places and get into the revealed word. It's the mind of God. It's to give this bride understanding that she can manifest the will of God. We're not lacking, friends. We're not trying to guess, friends. Amen. This is not a Latin Bible tied to the pulpit that only your pastor can know about it. It's in every home. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. Amen. It's a life that is being manifested. Hallelujah. You see, it set us free that we can serve God in conviction and rapturing faith. Amen. You see, that's why the prophet of God would say the anointing is not an emotion. We believe in emotion. We believe that revelation brings stimulation. Hallelujah, but that's not all of it now. Because the emotion or the anointing is supreme power in control. Knowing exactly what and how. I tell you, that's what Revelation 10:1 is about. It's about the mighty angel, the anointed word descending. He's got an open book, and that is to give you supreme power in control. Not a hot blood. We're not babies. We're not falling apart with the world. But we are in a position, positionally placed in Christ. Hallelujah. Supreme power. Deity has stepped into human beings. Supreme power to know how, to know what, to know what God's will is. The devil tries to steal your children. You don't have to get all emotional and fall apart. Stand there as a deputized son and daughter of God and say, Satan, take your hands off of my property. It's my rights. I hold my token. It's unmovable faith. And I say, let him go. I say, Satan's nothing but a bluff. I say, Satan has challenged this bride, just as he challenged the prophet time and time again. But we stand here, and we accept the challenge. Satan, you're a bluff. You are nothing but a liar. You are nothing but a fence to me. You can't have our sons. You can't have our daughters. You can't have our church. You can't have my mind. You can't have my spirit. I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand perfect. Perfect by one sacrifice. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, when that angel, the mighty angel, steps on the earth, he comes at the same time as the seventh church age messenger. What's he doing? The Revelations 5, the book was closed. Revelations 10, the book is now open. Revelations, the fourth chapter, the seven thunders uttered, and John was going to write them, but he was told, don't write it, John, seal it up. But now here we've come to the seventh church age messenger. Hallelujah. And he's come right over here to Sunset Mountain. Hallelujah. And now we've got seven angels, which has given us the Ancient of Days, the winged one, supreme authority, not a denomination, not a pope, not just a preacher, but the Ancient of Days, supreme authority, is now stepping upon the earth, and he's coming to a prophet messenger, and he's going to break what those seven thunders uttered that John couldn't write, the entire mysteries of the Bible that's been sealed from the foundation of the earth. What's it to do? It's to give us an understanding. You see, now's the time for understanding. Now the prophet has told us that we've got a, you know, Luther's day, there was maybe a rabbit. You know, Weston's day, there was something a little bit different. That's what they were feeding on. He says, but now we're feeding on a seven-course menu. We're feeding on something that's got strong meat. It's got something that's getting us above the clouds. It's getting us something. Oh, you see, it's the time for it now. It's the time to break Earth's gravity. Well, but I'm discouraged. It's time to break free. Well, but I've got this demon. It's a spirit of depression. It's time to break free. Well, I've got this. I don't know if I'm going to make the rapture. It's time to defy that lie. And it's time to break free. You're an astronaut. Well, what's giving me my strength? What's giving this broader power? It's the Word. It's the Word that's broke over our lives. It's the Word that's given us an understanding. We are not a hotbed plant. We are not a denominational, lukewarm, Laodicean Christian. We are a bought, predestinated bride of Jesus Christ that is not going into the tribulation. We are in the rapture. The voice of rapture, the voice of resurrection is living out of our lives. know the devil wants to get you to look at your flaws, your mistakes, your weaknesses. But I tell you, friends, it's time to quit looking at that and look at the life that you're living. Those disciples in that first church, they had flaws. They had mistakes. Hallelujah. They record the good days. They record the miracles. They record the testimonies. But they had plenty of those other moments too. Those other days too. That they wandered in their mind. They felt like they were going to fall apart. Friends, don't let the devil deceive you. That they were just everything was easy. No mistakes, no temptations, no struggles. I tell you, friends, we've been restored back to the original church. We are not trying to be the original church. The time has come to say, I am the original. That the Alpha, the bridegroom, the Word made flesh, has become the Omega, the Word made flesh in bride form. I feel like shouting. The time has come to say it. The time has come to speak it. The time, we're not trying to, amen, we don't need a lamb to come to and crucify the lamb again. Amen, speak to the rock. Speak to the word. Why, Christ, speak. Speak this revelation. Speak what you're hearing. Speak what God is revealing to your heart that you can believe it. You see, no wonder Brother Branham, in this age of intelligence, his intelligence, that you're not feeding on a man. His words will fail, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. His words will never fail. And that's what's given us strength to get out of those denominations. That's what has given us strength to have our minds renewed. That we don't think the same thoughts we used to think. We don't view life the same we used to view life. Victim mentality. Woe is me. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Well, I've just got my struggles. I've just my personality. Amen. The renewing, the word has come to renew our mind. Well, what else can renew our mind other than his mind? God, through a prophet, would take us beyond, way into the eternities. Say you were a thought in God's mind. You always had eternal life. You have no beginning of days. You have no ending of days. You're just going through a hickey of time to be tested. But then you're going right back into that perfect theophany body. You say, well, Brother John, what's making me believe this? What's making me strive for this? What's making me speak this? You've heard from your theophany. It's what your theophany is craving. Your theophany is craving this word, this message. It's who you are. I know the devil's trying to hide it from us. I know the devil's trying to say we're lunatics. Amen. We don't have a right to speak that. I say we've come into our adoption. We have come into the time to speak these things. We have come into our authority that I can say when you see me, you see him. Okay. Well, what gives you the right to say that? The prophet of God says she is him. There's been churches, brides, but there's gotta come one. I say we're here. We're not looking, the time has come. We're here. We're on the earth. And everything is under our feet. Sickness is under our feet. Discouragement is under our feet. Tribulation is under our feet. The time has come. One foot on land, one foot on sea. Everything is under these bride body's feet. Hallelujah. I think it's time to be bold about it. I think it's time to tell the devil that he's a liar. And he's lied to us long enough. But praise the name of the Lord. No wonder the prophet again, he would tell us then that, well, we don't have no thought coming. Now that hits home. Because sometimes we still want our thoughts. But the prophet of God would say, you don't have a thought coming. Because we have been connected to the headship. We have come into our intelligence. His intelligence is my intelligence. It's his intelligence that tells this body when to move, what to move, how to do it, where to go, how to manifest the words, when to be silent, when to speak, what to be silent about, what to say. Praise the name of the Lord. We don't have a thought coming. In other words, there is no denominational high breeding to this bride. This bride is not going to be manhandled. This bride will not be bound by traditions that takes the effects of the gospel out of this bride. Amen. We don't have a thought that can contaminate this bride. It is the word and the word only. We don't have to try to interpret it. We just allow the word to interpret itself through us. We just become the physical manifestation of what God thought before the foundation of the world. Everything he thought would be a bride, I am it. I tell you what, the moment that you start leaning to your own thinking, the devil's going to get in there. The devil's going to get you so depressed. The devil's going to get you nervous and anxious. The devil's going to get you in a backslidden condition. The devil's going to get you to doubt your own calling, your own purpose, your own position. He'll talk you out of it. You can't lean to your own understanding. You don't have a thought coming. You can't reason with this message. Believe it. Speak it. Hide behind it. It's our protection. It's the covering. It's the dress wear that God has provided us. It's the bloody bleeding word. It is the blood message covering us. You get outside of your sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, you are imperfect. By one sacrifice, we are forever perfect. We are feeding on the mind of Christ. Not the mind of a man. Brother Branham would say now. Say with me now. That doesn't mean the future. It means present tense. Now it's seed time. Or bride time. In other words, the shucks are dead. The shucks are dried up. The virgin word time, not touched. It's a virgin. Remember, a virgin word time. If you put it in the hands of a denomination, it sure won't be virgin. It'll be manhandled time you get to it. But God's church is not touched by denomination. It's a virgin word. But it's a virgin born word of God made manifest. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. How wonderful. I love it. I believe it. The prophet's getting a little excited. I know that it's the truth. It'll not be touched. There'll be no denominational manhandling in the virgin birth of the bride. Then I think that it's time to quit getting scared that this bride could be contaminated by man. Because this bride can't be. This bride has received meat, spiritual food in due season to protect her from every other false doctrine. This bride food has got the spiritual vitamins to protect her from every false spirit, from every antichrist spirit. There's a lot of denominational ideas that are even floating in this message, but this bride will not be manhandled. You can guarantee it. This bride is not the Pope's responsibility. He is not a preacher's responsibility. This bride is God's responsibility. For all that the Father hath given me will come to me, and I say I. will not lose one. That's the difference between Pentecost age and the bride age. It's Son of Man, the revealing of the Word Himself, that takes full responsibility for this bride. It's the time for it. It's the time to say that I can't be lost. Hallelujah. I'm just bold enough to say my family can't be lost. I've got the token applied. Hallelujah. It's time to be bold with these things. It's time to be courageous with what we believe. It's time to take the two-edged sword, which is sharper than any mind of man, any interpretation of man, any false ideas of man. It's sharper than any man-made sword. It is the Word that cuts. Hallelujah. Well, praise the name of the Lord. I tell you, the prophet of God, I'm watching that time. The prophet of God would say it like this again. He says, a man running from the presence of the Lord. He says, let the great Holy Spirit that come down on the mountain the other day up there. I pray that he'll saturate every heart in here with his goodness and mercy, with understanding. We realize, Father, that's what we need, is to understand. For if we do not know what we're doing, then how do we know how to do it? You see, what we need, the prophet of God again would say, we must have understanding. As Daniel said, he had understanding by the prophet Jeremiah's writing. And Father, we have understanding by the Holy Spirit's writing, as he will reveal it to us in this hour. Oh, the importance of staying in the message of the hour. Oh, the importance of feeding on this spiritual food in due season. The importance of letting your faith go. Whatever he will lead your heart to believe, you can have it. And the limits have been taken off of this bride, because she has come to the opening of the Word, the astronaut age. I tell you, friends, it's for every boy and girl, every mama, every daddy. It's for the housewife. It's for the work. It's for whoever will. Hallelujah. The limits have been taken off. The more you get into this message, the more you lay into the presence of this message, the more you find out how you mamas are effective to your family. The more you realize how that when that fever breaks over that child, you take that little child in your arms and you just that authority comes over you and you stand there and say, Satan, loose your hold. Fever, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. What gives you that right? You've been taught how, and you've been taught when and how to do it. I think about, just comes to my mind, how the prophet of God, amen, showing us there, amen, in the choosing of a bride, how that someone died in their church. And before the embalmer could get to him, amen, the men of the church, the brothers went down there and prayed until life came back into that body. He says they've been taught. I tell you, friends, amen, when the devil's trying to get us to fall apart, we've been taught. When the devil's trying to get us all out of focus, we've been taught. When the devil's trying to get us to disbelieve the message of the hour, we've been taught. And it's not but just your pastor. It's your pastor preaching spiritual vitamins into the church of the living God, and the Holy Ghost backing it and bringing a revelation into your heart. That whether the pastor's there, your pastor can't go to the job with you, the pastor can't be in your car with you, but there is a spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ that is abiding there. Amen. When the devil comes, it will not prevail. The devil has come in this age, but greater is this revelation that is in this bride. He will not prevail. The gates of hell is fighting. The gates of hell is warring. The gates of hell is trying to just make us another statistic to this world. But we will not prevail. because greater is he that is in me, in this bride, than he that is in this world. We have been sealed unto the day of redemption. The adoption robe of the token is upon us. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. The prophet of God would say, I believe the church is beginning to hear the message and begin to understand. The prophet goes on. This is 65:11-28. God's only provided a place of worship. He's about to leave the scene. He's saying, and begin to understand. He said, but oh, friends, listen, we've got to lay in the presence of the Son. We've got to be ripened. Our faith isn't ripened. Intellectually, we're hearing the message that God has given us and seeing the signs that he showed us and proving it by the Bible. It's there, but oh, how the church needs to lay in his presence till it tenders up, you know, and gets sweet in the spirit so that it can bathe down. Oh, I'm so glad that here we are in 2025 and that God has given us a season to get ripe, to lay into the presence of the Son. Hallelujah, to bake all the greenness out of us. I know people want to take that quote and maybe some other quotes and say, see, we're still trying to get ripe. We're still trying to, oh, but I say the time has come. The time has come that this bride is hearing things. Amen. There's an understanding. There is, amen, there is a connection with the word that we have never seen before. It's the freshness of the outpouring and refilling of the dynamics coming to the mechanics. It is the latter rain falling, the former and the latter rain falling together. What is it? It is bringing an understanding into the bride. Amen. That the youngest to the oldest can have an understanding, can see the connections and say, that's me, and that's me, and that's me. I am Ruth. I am Esther. I am all of these things. I'm the manifestation of the promised word for the hour. An understanding coming into us. You see, I'm closing now. But you see, the prophet of God would preach a message. God being misunderstood. And he would say that, taking the scripture that I read, the first one, that Israel did not understand the miracles. He says that God does, he does the miracles more than just say that he's God. But he does the miracles to bring an understanding. You see, this was the Exodus. We're in the Exodus. This was God bringing grace into the congregation. A prophet bringing a message, apply the token, and the death angel won't strike your home. Apply that token, apply that blood, and no harm will come to your family. You see, they went out and they began to go into the Exodus, and then they went to the Red Sea and they grumbled and complained, the world falling apart, but then God opened the Red Sea and they walked out on dry ground and my, they shouted, they rejoiced, they had a real Pentecostal jubilee. How we enjoy those times, don't we? Just a real Pentecostal jubilee, taking a tambourine and leading the church in a real good Holy Ghost dance. But then we find out that they forgot what that miracle was all about. And then they come to another test and they once again fell apart. But you see, the whole time, there was grace in the camp. They had the pillar of fire as a sign that God was with them. The presence of God was visible among them. We find that tent that God provided and had the word in that holiest of holies. And it was in that holiest of holies that God's presence, Shekinah, would come down over the word and would accept the blood. And there would be mercy for the camp of Israel. And we find that that was where that hidden manna was. It never grew stale. And we find that the rod always budded. You know, Aaron's rod that budded. Old dead rod, but brought forth life. There it was, all there. And yet, they kept failing to realize what God was doing. You see, God was bringing an understanding that I am leading you. I'm directing you. I'm the one that gave the promise that I'm going to take you out of Egypt, the world, and I'm going to take you, bring you into your inheritance. I'm going to take you out of the world. I'm going to bring you into your position, and you're going to rule. You're going to reign. You're going to raise your families in this land of adoption. You don't have to part from it. You don't have to leave it. But I just want you to realize. I want you to recognize who's among you. I want you to recognize my power is among you. I want you to realize, I want you to understand that I said I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Not one hair on your head will fall. I've got it numbered. I know everything about you. You see, the prophet of God would say that understanding is just like the message that he preached upon the eagle as the eagle stirreth her nest, which God was likened unto that eagle leading the children of Israel, and how that eagle would come and begin to, the time will come. The time had come when those eagles were all comfortable in their nest, but the time had come where mama says it's time to get out of the nest. And she begins to spread those 14 foot wingspans, and you begin to fan the feathers and get all the loose feathers out of them. It was more for them just to say, oh, there's mama. Oh, but it was to magnify. It was to come to an understanding how great thou art, mama. Amen. And as mama would begin to take her on her wings and her youngins on the wings and take them into those heavenly places. Amen. Taking them there and say, hey, this is where you belong. You belong in the heights. You gotta get out of the nest. You gotta put your faith into action. You gotta realize, amen, that you're eagles. You're bone of my bone. You're flesh of my flesh. You're spirit of my spirit. Your life of my life. It's time to step into your inheritance. God said that there's been another eagle. A prophet is an eagle. And then I'm trying to hurry, but there's a prophetic anointing that's moved upon the scene of this age. It's an eagle anointing. It's not an earthbound creature. It's a flying eagle. It's an eagle that's in those heavenly places. It's an eagle, amen, that is a divine interpreter of the word, the divine revealer of the word, and he's bringing an anointing, a prophetic anointing over the church of the living God. When he, the Spirit, is come, he will lead and guide you into all truth, back to the prophetic. Paul said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Paul again said, the Lord himself shall descend. Hallelujah. Revelations 10. Amen. The mighty angel, which is the Lord himself descending, which is the Holy Ghost that has brought this message in this day, that is brooding over us, anointing us with an eagle anointing. Come up higher, John. Get out of the church age, John. Come into your heavenly places. Quit looking at Laodicea. Quit getting out of focus with all of the doom and gloom of the age. Is this all right? Get out of the doom. Get out of... That's not who you are. When there's gross darkness upon the earth, and we see it. We don't have to talk about it all the time. We see it. We feel it. We feel the pressure. But we've been pressurized by the Holy Ghost. That has caught us up into the Spirit of the Lord. Caught us up in the Spirit of revelation. For what? The rapture. The time has come. The time has come. Evening light has come. The darkness is dispersed when the light is shining. And I tell you, rise and shine, for thy light has come. Let the musicians come. Praise the name of the Lord. Brother Branham would preach an entire sermon on responsibility. A man running from the presence of the Lord. The same quote that I said that we've got to, he says, we need to understand. For if we do not know what we're doing, then how do we know how to do it? Brother Branham says that you could be hired for a job, and he said, but don't just go take a nap. He said, well, I don't know what I'm doing. You got someone that hired you. You got someone that called you. You got someone that called you by name and said, hey, I got a job for you to do. You're not just there to take it easy. You got a responsibility. So the prophet of God says, you've got, then don't just be lazy. Get up. Go to the boss and say, what do you want me to do? How do I do it? I'll tell you what, the time has come to quit putting it off in the future. The time has come to come into this message and say, oh, Holy Spirit, teach me. Teach me. Teach me. Get into the revealed word of the hour. The time has come to find out what you're responsible for. You're not responsible for the foolish virgin scriptures. You're not responsible for the 144,000 scriptures. You're not responsible for those, amen, those try to fulfill those scriptures where they ran out of oil. You're responsible to keep oil in your lamp. You're responsible to keep the wick clean and cut it off the foolishness of the world. Keep that light burning. Stay anointed in the presence of Almighty God. You can't fulfill this message through your intellect. It's got to be the revealed thoughts of God. Hallelujah. You gotta go and say, what do you have me to do? You see, because we're about the Father's business. No, you not. I must be about the Father's business. The Word correcting the error. He knew what he was to do. He knew how to do it. He knew the scriptures pertaining to his life. And the prophet of God says, you've got to know the scriptures pertaining to your life. These signs shall follow them that believe. Greater works than these shall you do, for I go unto my Father. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it'll obey you. Ask what you will in my name, and it shall be done unto you. We've got scripture to manifest. We got Malachi 4, 5 and 6. That wasn't just for Elijah. Elijah was turning your heart back to the original faith. Hallelujah. So you could stand up and say, I'm here to fulfill the Father's will. That's the Father's business, to manifest the scripture. All these miracles, the first pull, healing, second pull, prophecy. But it was more than just the miracles. It was more than just the healings. It was more than just the discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But it was only catching the attraction. But it was the third pull, which is the opening of the Word, that caught you. Everyone else fell apart. Everyone else left it. Everyone else called him a lunatic. But this bride, it caught me. It's more than the miracles. It's more than the fishes and loaves. It's more than the signs and wonders. It's the Word. It's caught my heart. It's claimed my life for the rapture. It's claimed my hands. It's claimed my eyes. It's claimed my mouth. It's claimed my spirit. It's claimed my soul, body, spirit. I'm ready. Praise the name of the Lord. God is good. God is good. We've got a responsibility, friends. Hallelujah. I know we get tired. I know we're fighting through so much turmoil and just the mess that the world is in. But thy light has come, friends. Shalom. The prophet of God would say, enough talking about the darkness. Shalom. I tell you, friends, enough. Let's talk about how powerful the church is. The devil, oh, I know all hell has opened up. I know Satan has come into this age. But you see, he's coming to this age. And greater. Satan is as a roaring lion, but he is the lion that has roared. And every other unbelief has got to shut up. It's the time for it. It's the time for it. Tell that devil, shut up. My king is speaking. Shut up. We've got a king's message. We are running with the vision of an overcoming king. I tell you, friends, tell that conscience, shut up. Tell that reasoning, shut up. Tell every other thing, shut up. I'm under the headship of the Word. We're an astronaut age. We're looking down on reasoning and saying, you used to talk me out of my promises. Now I'm above it. You're below me now, under my feet. Hallelujah. Brother Doug, won't you come? Praise the name of the Lord. What are we playing? Oh, there you are. God richly bless you.
Amen.